Testing 1, 2. Golly, I got plenty of volume. Why does it always not sound like it's recording? Is that too loud, Daniel? Does that sound too loud to you? A little bit? What about there? Okay, testing 1, 2. Okay, well, I don't know. It's coming up both sides. That is weird. Okay. Testing 1, 2. I love you, Danielle. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come unto you this day, Lord, and we give you praise and glory because we know, O God, that you are God. And above each and everything that goes on, you are God. And you help yours. And like I know that you help us through our daily walk, you are there with us. Be with us, I pray. I pray for this morning, O God, that our worship, O Lord, sings out praises to you. And that you accept it, O God, what we have to offer to you this morning. In your mighty name, and everyone said, amen. Let's sing unto the Lord.
Here, praise the Lord. Is that better? Maybe you have it too loud, honey. It too loud? Come on, kids, you guys can stand up. Maybe not the ones that got in a wreck.
Somebody stand to your feet and praise the Lord.
Standing.
Like to make it known, we'd be honored to pray with you this morning. Please come forward and let us pray together. Heavenly Father. Lou and Glendon, oh Lord Jesus. There's a struggle there, oh God. Physically, Glendon is going through so much, oh God. And I know, Lord, that you can go there to wherever he is and lay your hands upon him. And your healing powers will overshadow him and Lou. So I pray for Glendon and Lou right now, God. That you right now, Lord God, go to him right now and let him feel your presence. The warmth of the Holy Spirit flowing through him. And I pray for Roy, oh God. Lord, I know that he had to get that apparatus out, but I also know, God, that you're the healer. You can release the pain, relieve the pain, and remove the pain. So I put this into your hands for him, oh God. I thank you for such a sweet, sweet spirit, oh God, and for all that you are doing, and that you just continue to do this in their lives, I pray. God, and as always, we continue to praise you and glorify you for all that you do. For all these requests, I pray, and I thank you for it in your mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Now, something happened yesterday that was pretty dramatic. And I know they already came for prayer, but I'd like for Alicia and Ron to come forward. Yesterday, they were driving normally like anybody would drive. They were taking someone home, and another car ran a stop sign and hit them. Now, they were doing 35. That car was doing probably 20, 25 or whatever. So the impact was pretty strong, strong enough to put his car on his side, strong enough that they should not be here today but be in the hospital. But I do know of a God that thanks a whole lot of his people. And because they have made that commitment to God to be children of God, they are here today. Now, I know our old mortal bodies are going to go through pain. Once you go through a trauma like that, yeah, it's going to put some trauma to your body. But I also know that I think that we need to thank God, as I know that they are thanking God, you know, for what God did. Because that was all about, I think Jesus grabbed a car and held it back and let it just roll slightly on its side. Could have been a lot worse. Anything you'd like to comment on? Okay. Well, just that we want to give God the praise. This is a praise. This is totally a praise. Thank the Lord, because the Lord takes care of his own. If you'd look at his car, you'd say, they should be in the hospital right now. Thank you. Okay? Yes, you can leave if you want to. Praise the Lord. Well, we're still working on the Easter. We're working on that too, by the way. But we're working on the Valentine's Day banquet. We've got a couple of places in mind. I have to ask this question. For the Valentine's banquet is $18, including the tip, too much for a banquet. Is it okay with everybody? Because we're having a hard time picking up. If we're going to do a banquet and go to a place, you know, it's hard to find those. I mean, we did find one for $18, and it's a full dinner, okay, and it's including the tip. And I don't really think that's too awful much, you know. And I would love to for all of us to be able to go. And I lay this out if there's a reason or a complication that you can't afford it, you need to let me know. Okay, in advance. Don't let me know the night of the banquet. That won't work. Well, let me know in advance, and we'll see what we can do to sponsor. Because I'd like to have everyone go to the banquet. Okay, it's a family banquet. Where is it at? The what? I have no clue where that is. Gold and Silver Hotel Banquet Area. It's a restaurant. It's. Is it? Go ahead. The golden's over. And they all, and they said 18. Verify that. But I'm thinking 18 with a tip is not a bad, you know. And I'd say let's put it together and we'll plan on that one. It's going to be the night of the 15th, so it's the day after Valentine's Saturday, right? 6 o'clock. And I think it'll be nice. I think, you know, we've always had it. I think we've had it one other time at another at Black Bear, but that wasn't that good. So we've done, most of the times we've done it at the Fellowship Hall, which we could, but I thought let's do something a little different. So let's do something a little different. And I want everybody to go, so I don't want any excuses. If there's an excuse, you got to tell your pastor, and I'll relieve that excuse whatever way I can. Now, if you're going to be out of town, I can't help you on that one. But if you're in town, I want you to prepare to go, okay? We're also preparing for Easter. Easter this year is April the 20-something, way far in advance, but we got to start preparing for our Easter musical. And so I haven't got my computer's up, by the way. Yeah. I'll have late charges this month. I don't have any choice in the matter. I've been spending all my time just getting the computer back up. So, but everything's working. Computer's completely back up, and all the programs are working. We lost nothing. So that's good to know, other than I have to hunt down programs to get them installed. I even got a program I didn't expect to put in the computer now. So it's working. It kind of worked for its, to God be the glory. But anyway, so that being said, we're going to put together our Easter musical and put that together. Next week I'll have sign-ups for that, so let's get signed up. It's going to be a good musical. Right. We'll invite the school kids. We'll actually have a Easter egg hunt afterward. It'll be fun, and it gives me the opportunity to invite a lot of my people from work, and they do come. So invite your friends. It should be a really good time, and it's always powerful, always powerful. And I do tape it and end up giving the tape to all my people in my program. I know if Ray wants them, he gets them too. So, oh, yes, and it goes on our website too. Okay, if that's all said, anything that I have forgotten, okay, ushers, please come forward. Usher. You know, and I understand, we, you know, with our small church, when people are out, we have a few out, and when they're out, it really shows up. So just give unto the Lord. You see where we're at? Give unto God. God will richly bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you do. Thank you for this offering. I pray for those that can give and those that cannot give, oh Lord, that you will help them financially so that they are able to give. Be with each and every one, I pray, in your mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Another quick comment, too. Next week I'll have our sign-ups back again for music. I am really missing our singing during altar service. So I think we really need to get that back. Okay? So during the altar, during the offertory, we usually have singing. You knew what I was talking about. Everybody else knew except for me. But during the offertory, we usually have singing. We haven't had that for a while. So please, I'll get the thing back again. I miss Ray. Yeah. Yeah. I do. And when Ray's ready, I'm ready for him to preach. Oh, I'm so ready for him to. When he's ready, I'm not pushing you. Ray, I'm not pushing you at all. Just put it over there. You know, but I'm ready anytime. Well, we started last week a series. And the series is the Gospel of Jesus. And I was talking to a person that works at she's our volunteer coordinator and happens to be Mormon. And I mentioned this Monday to her. In the midst of mentioning her, she's so deceived. Because she truly believes that the Mormon church reads out of the Bible. And she truly believes that Jesus is the deity of God, the incarnate of God. My goodness, I don't know what she does when she's there to hear what they really say. But see, that's how, I'm giving you that example because that's how so many people today are deceived. They're deceived because they don't listen. They're deceived because they do not study. How many of you got my text last night? What did I say on that text? Why do I want you to bring? I have about 20-something scriptures I'm going to be giving you today. And for the next couple of 2 or 3 weeks, if Ray doesn't reprieve me. See, I'm doing this because I know if I do it enough, Ray will reprieve me. But for the next 2 or 3 or whatever weeks, I'm going to be talking to you about the gospel of Jesus. I'm taking you through the story of Jesus. Jesus before time was last week. This week is Jesus in the Old Testament. That he was in the Old Testament. He was there. He was a presenting of the Old Testament all the way through. And so we'll get into it right now. If you will turn with me to Matthew. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 3 and then verse 17. But I wanted to tell you that some people have trouble seeing Jesus in the Old Testament. Ah, we have children's church now. We have a few coming. Come on. Before we start, pull into that scripture and wait for me. But let's have our kids come forward. Woo. Oh, and by the way, Jody was showing me something today that I really want her to let me know the website on. You know how people want to scorn and say how the Bible's not true? It's got a lot of myth in it. And certain stories in the Bible are mythical. They're not really, they're metaphors. And they take the Israelites and really put that into a metaphor. They take the Israelite story of them crossing the Red Sea and try to really throw you off course and tell you that maybe it was on the shore side of the Red Sea or this side of the, there's no way on earth that God parted that sea and they walked on dry land. Well, what I saw just a glimpse of, and that was just a really small glimpse because I didn't have time to look at it all. She showed me pictures from the internet that says revealing the Exodus story. And it shows in the Red Sea, the deepest part of the Red Sea, there's chariot wheels. They found them. Does that prove anything? That should bring more proof that there is history here, and it's not no lie. It's the truth. Heavenly Father, be with our children, I pray. Give them your praise, give them your glory. Help our teacher, Lord, to teach and direct. And Lord Jesus, I know they'll learn, and as they learn, they'll grow. I pray this in your mighty name. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed. Well, let's get back to what I was saying, that in the Old Testament, people have a hard time realizing Jesus in the Old Testament. They have a hard time understanding Jesus of the Old Testament. They would like to either put him in the New Testament or take him out of the Old Testament altogether. There's a lot of religious people out there that would like to put that way and put that into a connection. You know, but I don't really understand why, because he is on every page of the Old Testament. Amen? Jesus is there. He who was before there was time tacked 4,000 years onto eternity before coming as the God-man. So you can see Jesus in the Old Testament. In Matthew 1, 1 through 3, and as we read it, it says, the book of the generations of who? Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. And Jacob begot Judas and his brethren. And Judas begot Phares and Zerah. What names? I want you guys to start naming your kids after the Bible names. Yeah, right. Zerah of Thema. And Phares begot Ezron. And Ezron begot Aaron. And so on and so on and so on until let's go to chapter, verse 17, excuse me. And in verse 17, so all the generations from Abraham to David are 14. And from David to the Babylonian exile, deportation, 14 generations. And from Babylon exile to the Christ, 14 generations. So here we take it from Abraham all the way up until Jesus' birth, you know, and we have 42 generations of time. Woo! So, Lord, I pray this morning that you help us understand that you were in the Old Testament. As you were before time, you were in the Bible. And you were the Bible. Throughout the Bible, it's you, Lord. The Bible's all about you. Help us realize that and take this with us today, Lord, that we can teach others that you were in the Old Testament, that you were before time, that you are in the New Testament, and that you are here now. God, help us realize that, I pray, in your mighty name. So, as you can see, the Old Testament is all about the promised coming of Christ to the earth. All of history is his story. Jesus is the theme of the entire Bible. We have to understand and realize that. Jesus is the theme of this Bible. It's all about Jesus. He is the focus. And should be ours as well. And so we have begun this new series. People in the Old Testament were saved just as we are today. By looking to Jesus. Did you know that? People in the Old Testament were saved by looking to Jesus as their Savior. As their Master. As their Healer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They would look, they would live. Those in the Old Testament were looking forward to Jesus. We today look back to see Jesus. And all the saints of all the ages look forward to see his soon coming return. Is that true? So we have it from the Old Testament looking forward to the new, to us now looking back to Jesus, to all of us, old and new, looking to the new in the coming soon of our Heavenly Father. And I do believe Jesus is coming again. And I do believe it's sooner than what we think. I get to talk to a lot of my people in my work, and in the midst of talking to all these people, I don't think there's not one that I have talked to that come to the same conclusion as I do. He's coming. Oh my goodness, is he coming? And he's coming sooner than what we even think. Hallelujah. That's what's good to look for. Yes, you can clap. Give him a hand because he is coming. The good Lord's going to come and take us home. Hallelujah. Do you understand that Abraham believed God's promise of a coming Messiah and he was counted for righteousness' sake. Did you know that? And his great-grandson, Judah, was to be part of the lineage of Christ. 42 generations took place from Abraham to Christ. 42. That's not too much if you think about it. 42 generations took place. And all the Old Testament, all the Old Testament points to Jesus. Did you know that? All the Old Testament, throughout the history of the Old Testament, points to Jesus. Now, if I were to take you that way, I would be here for days taking you through the scripture to give you understanding of that. So I had to take and knock out a bunch of them and give some good ones. These are Jerry's preferences. These are mine that I think are what I believe really points toward that. So follow along with me. If you've got your bulletin in the back of your bulletin, I've set it up to let you take notes, to let you write scriptures. I'm setting it up to let you take this with you, this understanding and this study. But the very first scripture that I want to take you that says that all Old Testament points to him is found in John. The book of John, New Testament, chapter 1, verse 45. It says that Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law, when was Moses? Old Testament, under the law, and the prophets, again, Old Testament. So here we have them confronting two people, confronting themselves. They must have knew the scriptures. They must have known the Old Testament. I'm assured that they were Jewish, so I'm sure that they were taught the Old Testament. So they were talking about it. They said, we found the one that Moses talked about. We found the ones that throughout the Old Testament they talked about. We found him. Hallelujah. We found him. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. John 5:39, again, New Testament. It says, you search and investigate and pore over the scripture diligently because you suppose and trust that you have eternal life through them. Now, we could stop there and understand that that's what they're saying. That through the all the Old Testament scriptures, if you pore through them, you study them, you research them, whatever, you'll find eternal life by reading them. But then Jesus is talking. He says, but these very scriptures testify of me. Of who? Of who? Say it with me. Jesus. So these very scriptures that they're saying that pour your life into, pour yourself into, study them, research them, investigate them, get to know them, because those scriptures testify of Jesus. Woo! Do you understand? And that's just the beginning. Just the beginning. Jesus was with the Israelites in the wilderness. That's in your notes, by the way. He was with the Israelites in the wilderness. 1 Corinthians 10:4 says, and they all drank the same spiritual, supernaturally given drink. For they drank from a spiritual rock, which followed them, produced by the sole power of God himself without natural instrumentality. And here it is. And the rock was Jesus. The rock was Jesus. So it's saying that as the Israelites traveled, Jesus was with them. As they needed spiritual drink, he provided it. I believe as they needed supernatural powers, Jesus provided it. Do you understand? So Jesus was in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. Jesus was the angel and of the Lord in Old Testament appearance. Let me say that again. Jesus was the angel of the Lord in many Old Testament appearances. How many of you know about the burning bush? How many of you know? I mean, come on, that's everybody should be raising their hand. Burning bush, we all know. Here's that burning bush that Moses went to, and it wouldn't burn up. You and I both know, you light a tree on fire, what's going to happen? It's going to burn up, right? But this one didn't. Exodus 3:2 says, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto, here we go, angel of the Lord. Who is the angel of the Lord? Jesus appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked and beheld the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Jesus was the pillars of cloud and the fire for the Israel nation. Exodus 13, 21-22 says, The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from the people. Do you understand that Jesus loved the people? And that he loved them so much. I wonder about the Israel nation. They remind me so much of us. We are so much complainers. If it doesn't go our way, we complain. Come on, let's be honest. You know, if it doesn't go your way exactly the way you want it, you'll be like those Israel nation. I just don't understand. We were in Egypt, bound in slavery, and we had a better time than we're having right now. We're in the middle of the desert. Complainers, you know, come on. Does that sound familiar to anybody here this morning? If I had it better when I was in sin. I can't believe this. Look at me now. Look at the torture I go through. It's too hard to live this Christian life. Come on. That's the Israel nation. They complained. I thank God Moses had patience. Oh, my goodness, he had a staff. He could have hit them all. He could have really done some good damage on them. But he didn't. He had patience. And when he called upon the Lord, I thank God that Jesus had a lot of patience. And Jesus said, okay, I'll tell you, here's the way we're going to do this. I'll be the pillar of cloud during the day to give them comfort. They had air conditioning in the day and heating at night. Can you imagine that? They weren't hot in the daytime going through that desert. Do you know how hot it gets in the desert? Come on. We live in the desert, right? You go out to the Mojave Desert anytime you want, and I'll guarantee you in the day it'll be 100 degrees or more. You know, in Phoenix it's 120 or more. So, how many are glad you don't live in Phoenix? Ta-da! And the problem with that whole scenario is, when the sun goes down, even though it's 120, when the sun goes down, it could drop to 20 degrees at night or lower. That's the desert. That's the Israel nation. So the good Lord said, okay, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'll be a cloud during the day. I'll be a fire at night. I'll keep you cool in the day. I'll keep you warm at night. And you can keep on traveling because I got a place for you to go. Do you understand what he's saying there? Do you understand what he's telling you and I? Here's the Old Testament. that's instructing you and I today as a New Testament people. He's saying, I will take care of you in the day. I will take care of you at night. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will feed you. I will protect you. As long as you are going forward for me, you'll never have to look back. That's just that one scripture. That's Old Testament. Old Testament. Oh, here's another good one for you. The bread of heaven was given by Jesus. Exodus 16:4, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from the heavens for you. And the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or not. He fed them from heaven. Old Testament. What's that a promise to you and I today? He'll feed you. And he could even rain bread from heaven today. Boy, I got a little bit too quiet then. God said he'd take care of you. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. If he can feed the Israel nation, if he can feed them in the middle of the desert, from heaven, rain down bread, do you think he can take care of you and I? Ooh. Let me go on. The Old Testament speaks of Jesus often. That's the Old Testament. Then the New Testament confirms it. Did you know that? Now again, I could take weeks through the Bible and give you confirmation after confirmation, from old to new. I'm only going to give you a few. You can say, thank you, Lord, for that one. Isaiah 61:1. In fact, turn to it. That's why I had you bring your Bibles. I'm not going to have it up here. I will have it up there. But I want you to have your Bibles. And these are good times when you find a good one. When you find a good scripture, underline it. Underline it. And by all means, I think this one's a good one. I think this is a good one. Isaiah 61, verse 1. Isaiah 61, verse 1. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to teach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and open of the prison to those who are bound. Now, that's Old Testament. That's Old Testament, and that's speaking of who? Jesus. Put in there somewhere if you need to. This is speaking of Jesus, because it's confirmed in the New Testament. Okay? It's fulfilled in Luke 4:18-21. And it says, before it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Here again. What does it say right there? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is in Luke. It's confirmed what the Old Testament said in Luke. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recover the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Whoa. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now you understand, he said all that. This is all scripture from Isaiah. Then it says, who? Jesus. Then Jesus, let's take that E and put Jesus in there. Then Jesus closed the book and gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. Now, right there kind of puts a little bit of excitement on you because you got this guy that read all through this. Then he sits down, and guess what's happening? All the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. What's he going to say next? They were waiting for him to open his mouth and say something. And here's exactly what he said. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." He acknowledged, he proclaimed, and he said, "Today, that scripture in Isaiah 61, verse 1, has been fulfilled in me." Whoa, what a proclamation! What a fulfillment of scripture, and Jesus fulfills it. What was said in the Old Testament about me has now been fulfilled in me. Hallelujah. Here's another good one. Psalms 118, verse 26, 28 through 29. Read the very first part of that. It says, and you can write these down because we might not have enough time for you to go to each one, but take your notes and write these scriptures down that you can take and review them later. Maybe they're good ones that you want to underline. These are all good scriptures to underline. Psalms 118, 26, then verses 28 through 29. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Say that with me. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Old Testament, book of Psalms. We bless you from the house of the Lord, you who come into his sanctuary under his guardianship. You are my God, and I will confess, praise, and give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. Old Testament, Psalms. Who's it talking about? Who's it talking about? Who's it talking about? Thank you. I got to get your attention here somehow. Come on. Well, now we got it in the Old Testament. Here it's confirmed in the New Testament. Matthew 23, verse 39. And at the very end of that, you can read the whole thing, but the very end of it says, "For I say unto you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Why was Jesus saying that? He was telling the people, "I am the blessed one. I come to you in the name of the Lord." Jesus was instructing the people, what you heard in the Old Testament has now been fulfilled in the New Testament, and you will say this, you will proclaim this. And it says, every knee shall bow, every eye shall see, every mouth shall confess, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You either confess it now, or when that judgment time comes, you will bow before me and confess it. And that says it in Revelation. So we've taken you through Old Testament, when it was prophesied, New Testament confirmed, Revelation proclaimed, acknowledged, and done. Woo! You're getting what I'm saying? Let's take you to the next one. And I hope he is following me up there. Okay, good. Daniel 7, verse 13. Daniel 7, verse 13. I was watching in the night visions. This is Daniel. And behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Old Testament, book of Daniel. Now, Mark 14, verse 62, confirms that Jesus is the Son of Man. Jesus said, here's Jesus talking. Jesus himself is confirming this. Jesus said, I am. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand or of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven. When is that going to take place? Soon and very soon, the second coming of the Lord is going to take place. And he's saying it right there. He's confirming that he is the Son of Man. King of kings, the Lord of lords. I've got so much here, and I better get going here. He's confirming this to you and I. Now, here are some titles of Jesus. Again, I could take a whole day giving you all the titles of Jesus throughout the Bible, but I want to give you just certain ones that I think are relevant to the Old Testament Jesus. The Old Testament Jesus. See, we need to be able to talk to our people with intelligent points when it talks about the Old Testament. The reason why so many people don't want to put Jesus in the Old Testament, because they don't want to believe in Jesus. First, they don't want to believe he is the Son of Man. Second, they don't want to believe he's the Son of God. So if they take him out of the Old Testament, they've already nullified everything what the Old Testament proves. So we've got to bring back the Old Testament. You know, we need to talk to our Jewish friends. They're still looking for the Messiah. They haven't found him. Come on, read the scripture. You'll find him. He's there. He's here right now. Titles for Jesus. Shalom, which means peace, rest, and made right. Genesis 49, verse 10. And the scepter, or leadership, shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until Shalom, the Messiah, the peaceful one, comes to whom it belongs, and to him shall be the obedience of the people. Shiloh. Did you know that? I didn't even know that one. I didn't know that was a title for Jesus. I knew it meant peace. I knew it meant rest, but I didn't know it meant Jesus. Jesus, the Messiah. His title is called Shiloh. Here's another one. He is the shepherd, and he is the stone. Genesis 49, verse 24. By the hands of the mighty God of Jacob, from there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. By the hands of the mighty God of Jacob, and from there is the shepherd and the stone of Israel. He's the shepherd. He's the stone. He's also considered the star of Jacob. Numbers 24, 17. And I shall see him, but not now. And I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and the scepter shall rise out of Israel. He, Jesus, is the star of Jacob. You know he's called the child? The child. Isaiah 9, 6. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. Now I like this. Not only does he have titles, but listen to the names of Jesus. This is in the Old Testament. Again, confirmed in the New Testament. But here's the Old Testament telling you, prophesying to you, explaining to you who Jesus really is. And his name shall be called, it should be up there, Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I mean, that's a good one to underline. If you had to underline anyone, underline that one. And then you can tell people, hey, guys, you want to know what some names of Jesus are? Do you know he's called Wonderful? Did you know that he's called the Counselor? Do you know that he's called the Mighty God? This is Jesus. Did you know that he's called the Everlasting Father? And did you know that he's called the Prince of Peace? See? That's Jesus. This is the gospel of Jesus I'm talking to you this morning about. His name shall be called Emmanuel. Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Another title is called King and Anointed One. 1 Samuel 2:10 says, the adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven he will thunder against him. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointing. He's the king. He's the anointed. He shall be called the Redeemer. Job 19:25 says, for I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on earth. Oh, I like that. Not only is he called the Redeemer, but it says that he shall stand last on this earth. Hallelujah. What's the Bible say? The last shall become what? First. So if he's the last, he's also going to become first. He's our Redeemer. Hallelujah. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is there from the very beginning, and he will be there to the very end. That's Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. I like this next one. He's the king and priest. Zechariah 6:13. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall set and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne. He shall be a priest. He is the king, and he is the high priest. Now, in your notes, I didn't write this up on the scripture, up on the screen, but in your notes, there's some typologies of Christ. And if you feel led, please write them down. Typologies of Christ. These are found in the first five books of the Bible. First five books are Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The Pentateuch, according to our theological seminary. But in Genesis, his typology is Noah's Ark. What had happened to Noah's Ark? They were saved. All the rest of the world passed. They were saved. Typology of our Lord, the Savior. In Exodus, he was considered the Passover lamb. Again, the Israel nation was saved while the rest of the firstborn was killed. Passover lamb in Exodus. In Leviticus, he's considered the scapegoat. If you ever need that, you need Jesus to become your scapegoat. In Numbers, he's a serpent on the pole. Did you know that? In Numbers, he's considered the serpent on a pole. And Deuteronomy, these are just the first five. I could take you through every book and give you a typology of Christ. But I'm only giving you the Pentateuch, the very first five books of the Old Testament. It says in Deuteronomy, he's the cities of refuge. And that's exactly what Jesus is. He's our refuge. This world is not our home. This world does not offer anything I want. I'm just a stranger, a pilgrim in a strange land. And I'm looking for the time to take me home. I'm looking for that scapegoat so that I can go home. I'm looking for Jesus. I'm looking for Jesus to take me home. Those that want to hang around here, you're more than welcome to stay. I guarantee you it will not be a pretty sight when everything blows up. And it's gonna take place. The future work of Christ was also predicted throughout the Old Testament in typology. Here are some typologies for you. Do you like this, by the way? You know, I'm not preaching. I'm teaching you on the Old Testament of Christ. Here's some typologies. The typologies of Genesis 2 and Romans 5 gives the two different Adams. We know about the Adam of the first and what took place. The failure of Adam 1, right? He failed. Here comes Adam 2. Jesus is a typology of Adam. And it says, for as one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So also, by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. That's a good one to underline. Romans 5:19. Melchizedek. How many of you know the story of Melchizedek? Melchizedek had no beginning and had no ending. He showed up in the scriptures in Genesis 14, through verses 17 through 19. He showed up. And in Hebrews 7, it talks about him again. It talks about the genealogy of him, that he was never born and he never died. Who does that remind you of? Jesus. Jesus was, anybody turn around and tell you that Jesus was created and born, call him a liar. You have my permission. You know, and if they don't believe him, say, go talk to my, give him my phone number. I'll be glad to talk to him. Jesus was never born, and Jesus will never die. Jesus was not created. He is the everlasting God of our heavenly Father in heaven. He sits on the right hand of God, the authority side of God. You cannot try to take it, whitewash it, or put it any other direction. That's Jesus. He is the Melchizedek of the Old Testament and the Melchizedek of the New Testament. Hallelujah. He is called the Passover Lamb in Exodus 12. And here's what he's called in 1 Corinthians 5:7. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Do you understand that? He's called the High Priest in Exodus 28, and in Hebrews 4:14 through 16, let me read you what he's called now. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might may attain mercy and find grace to help in time of. Now that's a good one to underline. That one's a good one to underline. He was the burnt offering in Leviticus 1. And here's what he is in Ephesians 5:2. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. I have a CD from some choir that Sharon loves. I was listening to it, the Sweet Aroma Choir. It's a choir, and we're going to do some of those songs. But it makes sense. You know, you ever been in the incense of burning in a house, but there's this sweet-smelling incense? Doesn't it? It smells great. When I smell those, I automatically think of the Lord, the sweet aroma of our Heavenly Father. How many of you ever been in a service, and the power of God has come down so strong, and something kind of flows around the building that's a sweet smell, and you don't know where it's coming from? I do. It's Jesus. He's walking around. He's touching you. I want to get back to some of those services. Woo! Those are pretty good. Those are what we call, you know, chill bumpers. You know, when you all of a sudden you get, whoa, the presence of the Holy Spirit gets so much that it puts chills. I've had people that say that when you're talking about the anointing and the power of God, that was, whoa, I feel that. You feel, I don't care what anybody tells you, you can feel the presence of God. There are people out there, there are churches out there that are trying to take the filling of God out of the picture. And they want to just give you, they give you the Bible. I'm not telling you they don't. But they whitewash the Bible down to the point where they're taking the Holy Spirit out of the Bible, taking the Holy Spirit out of the church. Lord, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. Oh. The Day of Atonement was found in Leviticus 16. Now here's what it says in Hebrews 29:28. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin for salvation. The Day of Atonement is coming. In Leviticus, it talks about that Day of Atonement. In Hebrews, it talks about that Day of Atonement. It is on the threshold of existence. Hallelujah. The suffering servant is found in Isaiah 53. Let's hear what Mark 10:45 says. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Now you understand, I'm giving you all that I can in teaching you the Old Testament. This is the Old Testament. The Old Testament, understand, it compares and preludes to the New Testament. Throughout the Old Testament, it takes you to the New Testament. This whole Bible points to Jesus. It's called the Gospel of Jesus. I do hope you got these scriptures. I hope they meant something to you. Next week we start the life swap. The life swap. So you got to come next week, because now we take you through his life. The life swap. So don't hesitate. Please, if you're enjoying this as much as I am enjoying this, bring some people. Tell them next week we're going to talk about life swap. What are you talking about? Are you talking about wife swap? No. I'm talking about life swap. So have them come next week. Now, I have two things in the back there for you. I get these things, and they're from my daily bread, you know, the quarterly book we get. Every so often, I get little other tidbits, and I really like this tidbit. Ray, I'd say get a few of these to take to your people. I think this is really good, and it's called Out of the Ashes. It's God's presence in Job's pain. God's presence in Job's pain. If you're going through suffering, or you know of someone going through suffering, I get a lot of these. Please don't say, I don't want to leave you without any, Pastor. No, please do leave me without any. You know, take some more of my daily breads and hand them out. If you've already got one, take a few more and hand them out to others. The new quarter's coming up, so I gotta get rid of those. So take a few. That's this one. And I just got this book two or three days ago. And if I'm not mistaken, I haven't read all of it yet because I just got it. I didn't even know it wasn't there until I looked at the box. And this is called Church Extension Plan. This is through the Assemblies of God. I didn't know that. Church Extension Plan through the Assemblies of God. And it's called Partners, okay? And I've got a few of them back there. Please take one if you'd like to read up on different things. Partnerships that we have. Partnerships that we do. Whoa, wait a minute. And guess who that is? Pastor Angelo. I didn't even know that. That's pretty cool. That is pretty cool. Pastor Angelo's in the Partners magazine. I'll have to really, truly read this one. A Place to Call Home. The former drug addict helped save the church that saved him. Pastor Angelo. So good. Grab one of these back there and read it. So There is hope for everyone. There is. Please, don't forget next Sunday. Don't forget Thursday, prayer meeting, you know. And if you have prayer requests, I still think we have prayer request forms in the back, right? If you do have a prayer request and you want to write that prayer request down, we have a bulletin board at the fellowship hall that we put these requests on, and we pray for every one of those, okay? I know I bring up certain prayer requests from my work without mentioning names that we pray for, and whatever. Just if you have a prayer request, you'd want to make it known, or you can call anytime during the week and let me know, let Pastor Ray know, let someone know. So if that is all, let's stand. Thank you, Lord. Take what you've learned today with you and come back next week and we'll talk about the life swap. Heavenly Father, Lord, I do understand. And I understand each day more and more by studying your word more that this whole book is about you. This whole book points to you. This whole book is about the gospel of Jesus. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all about you. Continue to help us to learn of you, Lord, to gain knowledge of you, Lord, to let your life that lives in us become stronger and stronger. Teach us, O God, your ways, and help us as we learn your ways to teach others your ways. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. And everyone said, amen. God bless you. It is a full teardown.